Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Batella, and you're listening to part two of a fascinating series we're putting together on the power of minerals and how they can impact your health and help us achieve our mission, which is restoring vitality to you and to the planet. So welcome back, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself, and for those people that missed last time's, our last podcast, how you got involved in minerals.
Well, I've, like I said on the last recording, I basically was introduced by a Japanese man to this mineral solution. Basically extracted right from a stone called biotite or black mica. It's an aluminum silicate compound. And I did a lot of research when I first started drinking it because of the results that I received from it. But more than anything, I found the information on ionic minerals and the benefits and how absorbable they are, it was all matching. Everything was lined up. And, you know, that's where I think more than anything it triggered to me. The form that the mineral is the first important factor. Then I started to research the minerals and how they function in the body, and that without one, the other isn't as operational, and you have to have a matrix that works, and that's where the minerals come from is the second most important factor. And so basically when I put the two together, I've started to receive all this information and knowledge from people, from books, from researching on the internet regarding this way of having minerals for yourself, and it all matched up with plants and everything else that I saw in nature. So that's where I learned everything, and the minerals are in my life the key to water, to everything you look at that's in the body, life, plants. If you take away minerals from any one of those things in life, you have an imbalance and a sick water or sick human or a sick plant. So that's where I come from.
Fascinating. You use the term ionic mineral?
Correct.
So can you just explain to, I assume there will be a couple people listening to this who are like me and don't really understand what you mean by ionic mineral. Like, I understand what a mineral is, and I've seen rocks and stones, and I know you can go to the store and get calcium supplements and all that sort of stuff, but I've never really got the idea of the ionic mineral. I'm kind of fascinated to hear what that's about.
Okay, here's basically how it works. There's two major forms of minerals for life, and that's colloidal and ionic. And the difference between the two is the colloidal is a suspended particle in water, and it does not have the ability to absorb into the cell membrane. Whereas the other case for the ionic mineral solution, it's actually absorbable through the entire body, and it dissolves in the water. So it's actually a part of the water. It becomes a part of the molecular structure of the water. And the main thing to understand about colloidal versus ionic is if you put a handful of sand in your mouth, how long do you think it's going to take before your body absorbs it?
Yeah,
if you
never
put a handful of salt in your mouth, how long does it take before your body absorbs it? That's the best way to understand the difference between ionic and colloidal.
So what I kind of hear you saying is if I go and buy a tablet of minerals, because it doesn't sound to me like they're ionic, right? It's solid, right? Probably not going to be absorbed that well.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at the people putting Himalayan or Celtic sea salt on their food, that's actually doing a very good thing for their body because the salt, there's that old saying, it's biblical, it's prophecy, whatever, be like the salt of the earth. And the salt is the key. If you look at the ocean, it's full of life. But imagine if it was colloidal versus salt. You wouldn't have life. And that's understanding why salt is so effective versus a mineral form, which salt you can basically, is safe to assume, is ionic because any salt is ionic. But we're not talking about table salt.
Right. Yeah, we actually, a couple podcasts ago, we were talking about salt, and I made sure that we made the point that we were not talking about white table salt. And so I'm pretty sure all our listeners understand that when you're talking about salt, we're not talking about that white stuff that's totally refined on their kitchen table.
Yeah, and, you know, just so you can understand the effectiveness of salt, if you look at most of these new companies that are coming out with this sea salt mineral ionic solution, ionic sea salt has 72 or whatever trace minerals in it. It always gives you a high number because the ocean's full of it. And I always try to tell them, I'm like, look, you know, the ocean is good for the ocean life, but we're humans and we live on land, and so we need, like, for instance, sulfate mineral springs all over the world are known to be the most healing springs on Earth. And salt, what a sulfate is, it's a sulfur salt. And they've proven that the sulfate salt is the most absorbable for the human body. It goes right in to the bone marrow, and that's why if you go to places like Excelsior Springs, Missouri, you'll see today, even today you can go there, and there will be a lodge, a huge, well-built lodge that has a sanitarium in it that has these baths. You can go see today, 12 of them lined up, where they would actually do submersion therapy. And that's why it was so effective, because the sulfate has the ability to penetrate through the skin into the body and do what needs to be done. And so when you're talking about salts, it's key to understanding what is for humans, what is for fish, what is for monkeys, what is for animals, what is for plants. Those are the types of things we need to pay attention to and not just say, okay, well, minerals are good, it needs to be in salt. And so, like I said, the two most important factors, one, what form is it in? Two, where did it come from? And so we're always going to go back to those two things when talking about what mineral is right for us.
So there you were actually telling me earlier an example of a person that's demineralized, has himself in serious problems like cancer or something of the sort, puts themselves on the therapy and starts reversing those horrendous symptoms. There was this study that this Japanese researcher did. Could you illustrate that?
Yeah, the main thing with cancer is a lot of this pH balance in the body is misunderstood and needs to be observed and more microscoped, as a word I just created, I guess, microscoped in. You know, you need to look at, okay, is cancer bad? Well, the fact that you have cancer is bad, but is cancer in itself bad? And that's where we have to look a little deeper. Cancer and your acid, like an acidic environment, most people don't understand. They think now you're acidic, you're unhealthy. And I was just reading this article, and it's just basically saying, you know, hey, litmus test with your urine and your mouth and with whatever else you're testing, your blood, isn't a very accurate test because you constantly fluctuate, and that doesn't determine whether or not your body is in a good shape. And a perfect example is my aunt, who had very alkaline saliva, very alkaline urine. She was considered healthy by most pH people. And the problem, she took coral calcium pills, and, of course, calcium is an alkaline mineral. There are differences between alkaline and acidic. Minerals can be alkaline or acidic. Minerals do have that function, and that's the key to minerals. But the main thing is she got sick, and she got shingles, even though she's all alkaline. So what does that mean? And so here's where we come into play. When you're talking about cancer, when you're talking about things taking over in your body, acid, which is positively charged hydrogen, has the ability to absorb, okay, or connect or magnetize, so or charge, electrical, okay? So when we have more hydrogen, positive hydrogen ions, what does that mean? We have more positive electricity. So the electrical level is going up. Now, you would think that if the body wasn't operating properly or something was going wrong, that there would be less electrical energy, that it would be less electric. The reality is this electrical ability has the ability to dissolve. And so your body's first defense mechanism is minerals. And your colloidal system attacks and grabs whatever's out there that's considered acid waste. Well, why is it acid? First of all, what does the acid do? The acid is a signal saying, all right, we need minerals. We need minerals. We need troopers. We need the army. Call in the minerals. Okay, so the acid is actually the electrical charge that sends the signal, hey, there's waste here that doesn't belong. It's when you don't have the minerals to act is when you get in trouble. And that's where we talk about what you mentioned last tape, osteoporosis. Well, osteoporosis, where's your major mineral mass? It's in your bones. So, and most people think, well, if you have an acidic environment, if your body's full of acid, then you're going to dissolve your bones. Well, the reason is because your body needs those minerals to get rid of the waste. So it robs itself. We call it self-cannibalization. And so if you don't provide the proper tools, because a mechanic without his tools, what are you going to do with a flat tire if you have no wrench? You cannot change your tire. So the reality is, in order to change these things in our body or get rid of things, bad parts or whatever is wrong with your system, you have to have the mineral there to respond to the electrical charge. And so when we're talking about that, let's just go right to plants. Because plants, we talked about fulvic acid and microbes, which we call aerobic bacteria, eating these sugars that plants produce that secrete fulvic acid. Well, when you're talking about acid, let's always revert to positively charged hydrogen, okay? So when you think about what a plant is doing during photosynthesis, would be a heating process, just like a volcano, only under a micro scale, has the ability to dissolve minerals. So this hydrogen, positively charged hydrogen, is a electrical charge that says, hey, mineral, come here. The mineral dissolves. It comes in an ionic state. The hydrogen attaches itself to the mineral ion. In nature, when you're speaking about water, hydrogen, a positively charged hydrogen proton attached to a mineral is the strongest bond. That's why minerals that come out of volcanoes are so effective in purification and in health, because they have the strongest bond, so they have the ability to move fast, to communicate perfectly with nature.
So to go back to the point that you're making, you're saying that the body that is deficient in proper mineralization is likely to become more acidic, and the only way to revert it is to feed the body something that's going to alkalize it.
Yeah, and more than importantly, it's not necessarily the alkalizing effect. It's the proper balance, the pH balance, because your body constantly changes. Like, as I mentioned, it fluctuates constantly, and that's based on what you put in it, what you're doing at the moment, whether you're moving and working hard or whether you're sitting still. And so your body's basically one of the most resilient things that we have. And it's amazing how some people even live so long without minerals and with the major deficiencies. And that's because no matter what, your body will rob from itself to stay alive. And so having the proper alkalinity isn't necessarily the real answer. It's more the proper mineral balance, because if you have the proper mineral balance, your body will take care of itself. It'll have the proper tools it needs to do. It's the communication device for the body.
So how will you decide which is the stuff you need now?
That is actually something that I, ask myself, how do I know this is the best for me? What do I need to prove that to myself? You can't just have minerals and water. You have to have other things such as nutrition. But mainly, when you're talking about minerals and water, as I said a few minutes ago, the sulfate minerals from what we found have been, when you talk about the most healing springs on earth, we're talking healing springs. We're not talking about the spring that your grandma went to go fill up her jug 50 years ago when she was, had 10 kids. We're talking about the springs that were world known for the healing abilities. We're talking about sulfate minerals. That's one of the main fuels for plants. It's one of the main fuels for the human body. In fact, that's the main reason why a volcano would use sulfur as its main component for making this miracle happen in nature. And so when you're talking about the right minerals, first of all, we need to find a matrix that belongs in nature, that's made from nature, that feeds nature, that gives nature its qualities. And so what I always like to point out is that volcanic regions are known to have the most beautiful lands, the most beautiful areas of life. And so when you look at that alone, you look at, like, indigenous people in volcano regions such as Hawaii or just island places, like anywhere in the world, you look at the people. They always look young when they're old. They never burn from the sun, and they always seem to have a pretty high health rate. And so that's the most thing I would say for people. It's like, where do your minerals come from? Well, look in nature and see what the natural setting is around where you're getting your minerals. And if you don't know, then you need to at least find out. If you call a company and say, well, where's your minerals? Well, it's mine from this. Well, where did that come from? And you can't, picture that mineral being affected. perspective in nature, it's just dug down deep. It's somewhere. It's in a ocean. Or an ocean is probably one of the worst places because of the heavy metal contaminants and the problems they're having with all the major. I actually knew a guy who does that for a living. He's married to one of Charmaine Bassett, who's a teacher in college on this subject, actually. And he told me the number one problems in the world. He's been worldwide, from Russia, from South Iceland to South Pole, everywhere, and every single sea creature is poisoned. And so if you hear sea, that's the first place you should stay away from. If you hear volcano, that's when you should put on the light bulb and say, okay, what do volcanoes do? You might say, well, they destroy the land at first, but in the end result, they replenish. And so that's when you look at, okay, well, what happens when someone detoxes? Well, it looks like they're destroying themselves. I had people who have, within a week's time, when you take a higher level of minerals, you obviously speed up the process or magnify the process. You see someone's skin go from okay to, like, really bad, and their hair and their nails, it just looks like they're going through a transformation. Then a week later, their skin's beautiful, their nails are beautiful, their hair is beautiful. That's what a volcano is. At first, it looks like it's destruction, but then once it's finished, it's beautiful. And so we need to take those things in nature, the congruent things we see. For instance, goji berries, all these different noni juices, all these different juices that have these claims, hey, we're like this region that's in the jungle that's near volcanoes that's really good fruit because of all the trace minerals. Well, what's the key? Volcano. So that's where I found that the minerals that are the most effective in nature are, and that's because they're a volcano. They can't manage a volcano. That's why a volcano wins every time, because they cannot manage a volcano. So there we have it. A volcano does its thing no matter what, and you can always guarantee you're going to have plenty of minerals, and they're going to be in a very good form for life.
You know, I'll never think of volcanoes the same again, Matt.
Yeah, sort of like giving birth, right? It's a
absolutely
experience, and it's painful, but the results are great.
Are you screaming at the microphone?
I'm trying. So
there you go.
So the volcanoes bring fresh new minerals up to the surface of the planet, and so when we feed that to the plants in the volcanic soils, we get excellent produce. We know that. So what do you,
yeah, one of the things about understanding a volcano, though, and this is a good way to look at it, if you look at vermiculite, which is used, it's the number one mineral used for planting, for farming, for agriculture. In fact, organic farms in California use the same exact source of minerals I use to put back in their soil. The key to it is that the mineral has to first be exfoliated. Most people don't know what that term is, so I'm going to explain it. When you have a volcanic element, first of all, any stone for that matter, you have a matrix of minerals with what we call a vapor lock. And the vapor lock is actually the key. It's a moisture content that is locked within the stone or the formation, the mineral formation. So this vapor lock actually has a major role in holding. It has oxygen. It has everything that it needs to hold the matrix together. When you release the vapor, which is the process of exfoliation, which takes heat, which is what a volcano would do, you actually digest the mineral, and what you have left is an ash behind. So I always like to tell this story because a lot of people, they think about it and they're like, wow, that now makes sense. Everybody's heard the story, or not everybody, but most of the people have heard the story of Moses and the children of Israel going through the desert after leaving Egypt and manna falling from heaven. A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, God's omnipotent. You know, he rained down heaven manna from heaven when they needed it. Well, the reality is he's omnipotent enough to know ahead of time and create it when it first was created. Or before this creation, it was probably a technology that's obviously perfect and works every time, so it's probably been used time and time again from beginning to end. The reality is that when you have volcanic ash rain down on you, it's an edible mineral. And the reason is because it's completely digested. It's an ash. So your body could actually absorb these minerals very easily. More than likely, they probably mixed it with something that was acidic, who knows, probably the dove, who knows what they mixed it with, something to make it more palatable for the stomach and the digestive system. But the reality is when you look at volcanic ash now, it's the number one thing they're finding with stem cell research, algae, and all these magnificent things that we are now discovering that evolve around volcanic ash and minerals.
So there you have the freshly digested ash that you will what? Feed to the plants or feed to the humans?
And that's where we take it another step further, okay? In plants, obviously you would just put it right in the soil, because the plants obviously do their microbe and their acidic fulvic acid digesting these minerals as an ash. With humans, what we do is we actually turn it into a mineral solution. So instead of taking the ash that doesn't have the sulfur attached, because when we're taking the element out of nature, it's not digested by the actual volcano yet. It's not exfoliated. So this mineral that we retrieve comes from a volcanic region that produces biotite mica. It's in Canada, actually. And it's the purest you can get. Like I said, organic farmers already use it. It's on the organic list. The product is very easily organic certified. It's a matter of going through a process. But the main thing is we put it in a form that would be like, say, in a sulfate mineral spring, one of the most purest form, in trace amounts. So you basically have the ability to take a mineral solution, add it to your water, and produce your own sulfate mineral spring water that's healing and has the properties that you would get in your most magnificent healing spas in the world.
Great. So I guess
that's
what
amazing.
We're going to do, we're going to leave this for our next segment, and we're going to describe the product that you actually have.
Great.
So, dear folks, we're going to cut it off here at the 20-minute mark. Thank you very much for listening. This is Martin, Scott, and Matt for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Until the next time.
Bye-bye, everybody.